baptize them in the name of Jesus. Friend, you just went to war and you just won. All right, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Stay with me just a few minutes. Everybody say, be strong in the Lord. We learned that word there means intoxication. I got that for you, brother. I handed it to you at the church. It means intoxication, to be intoxicated with God. You see, we want to read up on these verses, and then we just want to think we can just throw the armor on and go out to battle. But we don't want to pay attention to what is really necessary. We must become intoxicated with God. Lest we get out into a sinful world and we become tempted just like the world is tempted. And we yield just like the world yields. I believe it was Paul the apostle said. He said, I kill the flesh every day. I stay intoxicated with God. I stay full of the Holy Ghost. Why, Paul? Because I don't want to become a castaway. After I preach to others and I've saved others, I don't want to be a castaway. So Paul recognized something. You can't just go out to battle. You got to put on the helmet of salvation. You got to wear the breastplate of righteousness. You got to pick up the shield of faith. But something we learned is it's not our armor. It's God's armor. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. It's the same armor that Jesus put on according to Isaiah. When Jesus came to this earth, he wore this incredible armor. It's what protected him. And Jesus says, you don't have to go out to battle defenseless. You don't have to go out to battle and worry about anything. Here, wear my helmet. Wear my breastplate. Carry my shield. Here's my sword. Go out to battle and defeat your enemy. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, my, you're a tough crowd today. So we learned we got to be strong to be intoxicated. Say, I'm drunk. Say, tell your neighbor, I'm getting drunk today. Tell him again, I'm getting drunk today. I'm going to get drunk on the Lord, drunk on the Word of God, drunk on the Spirit of God. Woo! Oh, I feel something up in this place today. The Bible talks about us to go in the power and the might of God. That we looked at those words and we realized that it means to be forceful. That the violent take it by. It's the word of God. Jesus said it himself. I love the way he put this. He said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. In other words, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is forceful. The kingdom of God is violent. We don't walk in and say, pretty please, devil. In fact, I don't even talk to the devil. I don't even care if he's there. He's got no power or authority over me. When God has me on a mission, when God has put me in a direction, I just walk in there. I don't address anything around. And I just say, in the name of Jesus, you are set free. You are delivered. Let's continue on. Everybody say, put on. That word actually means invest in. So it's more than just put on. It is invest in. That the armor doesn't just become something you wear. The armor becomes something you are. So I'm not just wearing the breastplate of righteousness. I have become righteous through him. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. You can't do good enough to be righteous. I'm righteous because of his righteousness. So I'm not just wearing righteousness. I become righteous. Come on, don't let that devil lie to you. That's why you don't have power over him. Because the devil will look at you and say, I know what you did. I know your thought. But he actually don't know your thought. I know this, and he watches it. And he'll try to put condemnation upon you. And then, but you got to say, wait a minute, devil. I'm not perfect, and I'm doing my best. But I'm not walking in here with my righteousness. I'm walking in here with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I bet you don't have nothing to say about that, do you, devil?
Because you already tried to get him and you couldn't. You already tried to take him down and you couldn't. And I'm coming in to this place with the same armor and the same power and the same righteousness.
All right. I'm going to try to get to my message today. So it's more than just putting it on. It is investing. It is becoming. I don't just wear the helmet of salvation, which is the knowledge of salvation. My people are destroyed because lack of. And so the word of the Lord says, when you're going to wear the armor of God, one of the things you got to do is you have to put knowledge. You got to get the knowledge of the word of God, revelation of the word of God on the inside of you. And you put that upon your head so that no matter where you go, when the devil opens his mouth, he can twist the word if he wants. But you can be just like Jesus and say, wait a minute. I know the word says that devil, but you took that out of context because the word also says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil says this and the devil says that, and you're able to come back with the word of God. And the one thing he cannot come against is the word of God. He can get around your wisdom, your wisdom. He can get around your thinking. He can twist it, but the word of God stands sure. And you've got to get that word in your heart, and you've got to get that word in your mind. You got to put that word inside of you. And everybody say, the whole armor. So we're not want to just walk around. There's people walking around with parts. I don't have time to get into all of that. But we have to put in on the whole armor. We have to invest in the armor of God. We live in a real world. And in this world, there is a real devil. And there, we don't even know how many there is, but there are. Just thousands and thousands and millions. Who knows? We don't know how many demons there is. But this much I do know. That for every one demon, there is two angels. And so whatever the devil throws at me, I got two from God to throw right back at him. Okay. All right, let me continue. The armor is given to us is the actual armor of God. I'm going through old notes here. I want to get to. We talked about the wiles or the trickery of the devil. This word here means the manipulating and the persuading of men. Now, here's something that I've tried to teach you over the last few months. I've tried to teach you that Satan cannot get into your mind and get into the heart like you think he can. Because you are a child of God and your mind is washed with the blood and your spirit is washed with the blood. But he is manipulating this world. That's where persecution comes from. He manipulates them to feel and to think that you and I, we're the bad people. And you better listen to Pastor real close because I'm here to tell you the day is already here, but it is even going to become even more a surety that you and I are going to be the odd ones. We're going to be the odd ones. You don't drink, or you crazy? You don't smoke, or you crazy? You don't sleep around. You only have one wife. And you mean you don't go out and sleep with other women? You're just kind of faithful to one woman? Are you insane? How boring is that? You're married? You're actually married? You mean you actually signed a contract with a woman or a man? And you're married and you're going to stay with the same one? Are you insane? Is something wrong with you? What? You've never tried the other side? You've only tried the opposite sex? What? There must be something weird about you. You didn't try the same sex. Now, I'm not trying to make this rated R. I'm just telling you where the world's going. And just walking in this world, living a normal Christian life, is going to thrust you right into the battlefield. Without ever opening up your mouth, without ever trying to do anything, you're going to be on the battlefield because the entire world is against the church of the living God. So I've made up my mind. If I'm going to be in war, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm not going to hide behind rocks. I'm not going to try to protect myself.
unless I am seen. No, if I'm going to be in war, I'm going to get up and I'm going to war. And I'm going to take territory. I'm going to win souls. Somebody help the preacher. I'm telling you, that's the greatest spiritual warfare on the planet. You want to do damage to the kingdom of Satan? Then you go after a soul. Draw the sword of the Word of God in love and in passion and march out on that battlefield. I'm here to tell you that without you even realizing it, the Church of the Living God is in war every day. And when you are a revival church, you're on the front line. And that's where the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches are going. That's where we are. That's where we're going to stay. I'll give you a good example of spiritual warfare. You know, people, I've already touched on this, but I'm just trying to bring reality to us. Because if we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, and if we're going to do damage to the kingdom of this world, to Satan, and the principalities, and I'll try to get to that, then we have to start thinking biblically and not superstitiously. And the problem with spirit-filled people is we have a tendency to become superstitious. And we over-spiritualize things. Everything's a devil. Everything's a spirit. No, you just ate too many onions. You get up in the morning and you feel bad and you go, oh, the devil, he's already oppressing me. No. Smothered baked potatoes don't work at 1 a.m. in the morning. And when you go to bed on that, you're going to wake up feeling bad. And in a bowl of chocolate, crunchy, I don't eat cereal, but I like cereal. But I can't eat it because I can't drink milk. You know how I found that out? Because I'd eat me a big bowl of cereal when I got up in the morning. I'd think them devils were on me. And when I stopped eating that bowl of cereal, I woke up feeling great. And then I realized the devil was in the milk. I put it together. The devil was in the milk. Don't drink milk. No devils. Okay. So we over-spiritualize things. And if we do that, we're not going to affect the kingdom of Satan. Because he's going to put us off on wild goose chases. We're going to be out here beating the air thinking we're accomplishing something in the kingdom of God. We're not accomplishing anything. If he can get you praying 4 hours a day against binding every spirit. I'm sorry, sister, forgive me. Binding every spirit and doing all of these crazy things and everything. And stop you from just walking across the street and witnessing to your neighbor. Then you can stay in that closet for 4 hours and you will never engage in spiritual warfare. But the moment you come out of that closet and walk across that street and knock on that door, now you have entered into spiritual warfare. Now you're on the territory of the devil. Now you're trying to reach in and bring somebody out of hell. I'll prove it to you scripturally in a moment. Tamika, we were in spiritual warfare yesterday. You know how I know that? Because the first thing we did was walked right on to the devil's territory. That beach belongs to the devil. He's got all his women dressed in slinky bikinis. Some of them need to look in the mirror before they go outside. That was rude and crude. Lord, forgive me. That was really mean. To all my guests, I can't really repent of it because I'll probably say something else, but that's the devil's territory. We went out where the devil plays. They're all dressed and modest. They're all lusting over one another. Is that guy, is that woman a nut? Going to bring her husband out to the beach? Lord, help me, help me. Help me do this right. And she's got a certain shape. And them other women got another kind of shape. And he got his head turned over to the right. He act like he's asleep. She brings him right into the enemy camp and his heart gets filled up with lust. It was the enemy camp. It's where they go to play and have fun and look at one another and lust over one another, feel the appetite of their flesh. We walked right into that enemy's camp. We walked right down into that water with 8 souls. Right in the middle of this camp, we baptized them in the name of Jesus. Right in the middle of this camp, they came out of the water talking in tongues. That is spiritual warfare. I tell you what you do in your prayer closet. You get in right with God, and God prepares you to go out on the battlefield. Then you draw your sword, and you leave, and you go to battle. Spiritual warfare. You can't see it, but when you walk up to that person the Lord led you to, or even if he didn't. Because the Bible says, it is not the will of God that any man perish. Another place he said, go preach it to the whole world. You know what that tells me? That tells me the Lord is leading me to the whole world. That means no matter who I meet, I've been led to him or her. And you walk up to that person, I'm telling you, and they are bound up in their flesh. They are confused in their mind. The devil has convinced them there is no hope. And you walk up to them, and all you do is just begin to say a few words, and they can already begin to feel the chains fall off of them. They don't even know what it is. And then tears start flowing down their cheeks, and they can begin to feel the Spirit begin to move upon their heart. And they'll say things like, I don't understand. I've never felt any. Do you think the devils are just standing there in the spirit realm? They are screaming. They are hollering. They're trying to get into your mind. They'll bring distractions from every direction to try to distract you. They'll make so-and-so call you at the very wrong moment. Oh, they'll just cause things to happen and everything go crazy. Why? Because they have no power to stop you. When you walk into the enemy's camp, he has no power to stop you unless God turns you over for that purpose. Because some of us will die for this cause. Some of us will be greatly persecuted for this cause. But when you come out of that persecution, on the other side of that persecution will be many souls that have watched you through the persecution. It was never the devil. It was always God allowing whatever it is to take place in your life. And when you step out of that other side, the glory of God will rise up and souls will come. Tamika, I don't want to bring this up, but you just happen to be the example for today. We lost your precious son not too long ago, just
I don't even know how many months. I'm sure you can count the day. That's perfectly fine. All these people that we baptized on Saturday have a connection to her son that the Lord had taken home. And then we have another 10 coming up here pretty soon, and probably another 10, and who knows whatever. And then some state official was at the baptism that had met through all of this. We can't say why he was taken out of this world, but we can look at the results that has come from it. And God has already saved many souls out of it, including her own family. Come on, somebody, give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. What are you saying? I am here to tell you, God will make good out of everything. If you will serve him and love him, God will make it good. God will make it good. All right, I want to get to the message today. A few more minutes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. Everybody say principalities and powers. Say rulers of darkness. Say of this world. Say spiritual wickedness in high places. That word wrestle there. Come here, brother. You know, a few years ago, when I was a little younger, this brother made a mistake. He grabbed me and thought he could actually hold me just because I'm half his size. But my older brothers were Green Beret. I thought about taking your juggler out, but I just didn't do it. So like a girl, I started screaming and kicking and swinging. And like a little alley cat, he finally let me go because he didn't know what was going to happen. But you and I, we look at that word. I just wish they would have chose a different word. But we look at wrestle, right? So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. And so this is what we envision. We envision ourselves getting into a headlock with the devil. And, you know, we're trying to do this. And before preaching a couple of months ago, this is how you actually envisioned it. You saw yourself down here and you saw the devil. No, not you, man. Get up. Yeah. You saw the devil pushing you down and, oh, the devil on me. And, oh. But we got over that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. At least we know we're up here. But we still see ourselves wrestling. No. You know what that word means? That word means torture. We torture the devil. We have full power and control. We walk right. We don't torture one another, flesh and blood. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. Quit torturing your sister and your brother and start torturing the one who God said you're supposed to be torturing. It means for we torture principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. I'll show you scripture. It means we walk into his kingdom. We grab him and throw him out of the way. And we say, come on, I come to set you free in the name of Jesus Christ. Before you had the Holy Ghost, before you were baptized in Jesus' name, the devil tortured you. But when you got buried in the name, and when you received power from on high, it's like that little guy, huh? He's in the third grade. He's in the third grade, and this big bully always picking on him. Ooh. That hurt, man. What's the matter with you? Always picking on you and bullying you around. And then you go away, and you eat your Wheaties. And you hit that growth spout. That's what we're talking about. You got the Holy Ghost. Come here, I'm going to hurt you. You got the Holy Ghost now. You've been baptized in Jesus' name.
Quit letting the devil mess with you. The Bible says, torture him. Go into his kingdom. Take souls out of his grip. Torture him. But we can't do that until we understand he has no power. Jesus said, I've given you power over all of the enemy. He has no power over you. You have power over him. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. Come on. Worship him. Thank you, buddy. I'll leave you alone. I'll pick on Sap. I'd pick on Brother Corinthian, but he'd pick me up and throw me off platform. Torture him. And watch this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness? Of his power to what? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? So once you become a born-again believer, there is a power that comes to you according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. In other words, gave him all power. Where is this power? What is this power towards me and you that has come from him? I'll tell you what it is. It is far above. Now go back to Ephesians 6 and 12. Leave that on the sign, on the screen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness, high places. And Jesus gave us what kind of power? Power above all principalities, all power and might and dominion. I wish I could lay down, get on the floor. I get on it too. I get on it. I wish I could stack 10 of these chairs up so I could give you a better perspective of what God did for you and me when he gave us the Holy Ghost and baptized us in his name and applied his blood to our body. It's what's going to happen to you today, Sister Marie. It's what's going to happen to you today, Richard, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers. But then Paul tells us in the same book that the power God gives us is not just above. It's far above. Somebody say all. Far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Somebody tell me, why are you afraid of the devil? He hasn't just made us more powerful. He made us way more powerful. Far above. Come here, Petru. Get down there. Get down on that floor. Ball up like a little baby. Ball up. Put your head between your legs, huh? Turn in your corner and suck your thumb. This is what my pastor did to me when I was growing up under the ministry. You got to learn to be submissive. Put your thumb in your mouth. That's the devil. When you walk into his territory, with a heart full of faith and a mind that's made up, with a breastplate of righteousness and a shield of faith and a helmet of salvation, your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, you are far above all principalities and power. My God, I wish somebody would take a lap around the church. Brother Powell, run around the church for me. Come on. Get up and run around church, boy. Come on, somebody. Come on. Sister Kalia, did I say that right? Spiritual warfare. It's not getting in a fight with the devil. That's like saying Andre the Giant and some 2-year little kid's going to get in a battle in a ring. Spiritual warfare would be like Nicaragua coming against the United States. Where's sister? That's why I thought about your country, sweetie. Sorry. I saw you. Sister Janet. No, no. If they shoot their bow and arrows at us, okay. We'll give them some guns. We're just going to fire one nuke. Only one. That's the kind of spiritual warfare I'm talking about. Watch this. You got to stay with me. I know I'm going against your thinking. I'm going against traditional theology. But I'm here to tell you, they can't find what they preach in there. I can find it. And there's nowhere in this Bible where it shows me in this big struggle battle with the devil. Do you know the only time in the Word of God where a man and a spiritual being actually struggled was man and God himself? Jacob and the theophany of God, if you please. And they struggled and they fought. Okay. Look what Paul said in Colossians. Having sports, still speaking about Jesus. Remember, we get our power from him, right? I'm not boring you, am I? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, are you still awake? Okay. They sound like they were. And having spoiled, put Ephesians 6 and 12 back up here, Sister Dawn. But against principalities. Now, you know why the Bible says don't wrestle against flesh and blood? Because I have no power over your flesh. You know, a lot of times we come and we'll go into what we think is spiritual warfare when we're really trying to rebuke flesh and another person. And you cannot rebuke flesh. I have no power over flesh and blood. Even in the name of Jesus and spiritual power, Jesus is not going to override his will about anything. So you are wasting your breath trying to go to spiritual war with flesh and blood. You have to go to the source of the problem.
You got to bypass what you think's the problem and go into the spirit realm. But what I'm here to preach to you is that the moment you enter into the spirit realm, it's no longer a fight. It's just you taking territory. It's you walking in there and taking over. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Look what he says in Colossians. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them against the rulers and then rulers of darkness of this world. Look what Jesus said. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched not forth your hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. In other words, Jesus gave the power of darkness a moment, just a moment that they could take his life. Because it was the plan of God. But in 12:31 he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Are you kidding me? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Listen, you can't get no higher than him. I fight against principalities and powers who are in high places. But the Bible tells me I rest with Christ in the highest of highest. I am looking down at the devil. I am not looking up.
All right. I know I'm wearing you out. I'm sorry. It's 1:10. I've been preaching for a little while. I'd like to touch on all of that, but I'm going to bypass it. I want to show us something destroyed by lack of knowledge. Anybody ever hear of the propaganda war? You're going to go in and fight a war. You spread propaganda. Am I saying that right, Princess? She always corrects me on my words when we get home. Of course, it took her 20 years to figure out she was saying I'm wrong too. She'd go to college and give a little speech. And class would start laughing. She couldn't figure out what they were laughing at. She'd say some word just like her daddy says. You know. And they'd go, what is that word? And she said, well, you know, it's such and such. And, no. That's not how you say that. This is how you say that. And then she'd come home, and I'd catch her wrath. And so finally, she just, you just quit talking like me. But, Joe, you know about this. You're going to go in to go to war. You'll spread propaganda before you get there. And the main thing you're trying to convince those people of is that you don't have a chance. That the enemy that's coming against you is much greater, much more powerful, much stronger, much wiser, all the above. You don't have a chance. And you fill their hearts with fear before the enemy ever even shows up. And it gives you that advantage in war. And Satan is a professional at propaganda war. And you know the worst thing about it? He uses religion to do it. Because what more powerful of a tool to you, who is a God-fearing man of God, a religious young man, what more powerful tool does the devil have than to convince you with the word and with religion that you don't have a chance? He knows that you'll believe that before you believe anything else. And he'll get into that word and he'll twist it. And he did it to Eve and he tried to do it to Jesus. And he's been doing it to humanity for thousands of years. And he even did it to us. And he convinced us that he was more powerful and more stronger. And he convinced you that every bad thought you had came from him. And every lust in your heart came from him. And that he had so much power and control over you that he could do anything with you at his will at any time. But we have exposed him because we are not ignorant of his devices. It's propaganda war, and it's what we have come to destroy. Now, I want to end with this, because we're talking about spiritual warfare. When you get into the Word of God, what you are going to find is that spiritual warfare is what I've touched on throughout this message, is no more and no less than you walking into the territory of Satan and getting a hold of a human being, getting a hold of a soul, and bringing them out of his grip. It's spiritual warfare. There's something you need to understand. Not even God wastes his time messing with the devil unless the devil is messing with you. Because the only thing that matters to God is a soul. If every devil in hell wanted to go to Mars, and I guess they could. I don't think they need to breathe air. If every devil wanted to go to Mars, first of all, me and you would be a whole lot better off. The world would probably go insane. Actually, they probably wouldn't get much better, because what we have found out and realized is that what the world is doing is their choices. Men rape because they're rapers. They kill because they're killers. They steal because they're thieves. And the only thing that can deliver them from that is Jesus Christ. You cannot deliver yourself from your flesh, but God can. It's why we need God. But if all the demons would just go to Mars, God wouldn't send his angels to Mars to fight the demons. He's not just in war with the devil to be in war. When the devil came against God, he just kind of flicked him like we flick Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning, right? From the heavens. Boom. I mean, when Satan reared up, he just went, dude, go on, get out of here. But then he started messing with humanity. And that's what caused Jesus to do what? Bear his arm of salvation. See, the reason why Jesus Christ came to the earth to shed his blood was not to fight the devil. It was to save you. He's not in this thing just to go around fighting demons. He's in this thing about you. He's in this about me. And we have to understand that it's the same thing with us. The devil would love for me and you just to go into all kinds of warfare with him all over the place, and it never even involve a soul. And that's what most of us do. We're constantly, at least we think we are. We think we're in battle and we're conquering the devil and we're doing, and we never even approach a single soul. Spiritual warfare is about the loss. It started that way from the very beginning. Don't you know when spiritual warfare began, what he told Eve? When Eve and Adam fell in the garden, he looked at Eve, he looked at that devil, and he said, devil, a day is going to come when seed is going to come out of the woman, and you're going to bruise the heel, but she's going to crush your head. That pronouncement of war right there was about soul. And it's always been about souls. So quit wasting your time battling all of this junk and start going after soul. Why do I waste my time fighting over things, always battling things that in the long run will amount to nothing, when if I reach one soul, it's an eternity impact, an eternal impact, one single soul. You want to know what spiritual warfare is? Get rid of all your mysticisms, all of your supernatural, spiritual misunderstandings. and walk out of this place today and go to Walmart and reach into your purse or your pocket, your wallet, pull out a church card and say, "Brother, sister, I'd just like to invite you to be in church with us." And even if you don't get an opportunity to actually witness, you entered into spiritual warfare. Because the moment you start touching Satan's property, what he claims to be his, of course, then you enter into warfare. You know, if you come to my house, and I know I'm going a long time, but I'm trying to get this in us. A couple of more scriptures and I'm done. You come to my house and you stand on my street and you can yell obscenities. You can shoot your gun in the air. You can scream and threaten me. And I'm just going to sit in my house and look at you. But the second you come through my door, me and you go to war. Because now you're messing with mama or you're threatening my children. It's wartime. So this is what I'm saying. It's time to quit yelling in the streets at the devil. And it's time to go into his territory and go to war. And let's go get somebody. And you're already pronounced the winner. It's in the back of the book. Read scripture, Acts 26:15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I want you to watch this. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest soul winners on the planet. "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Sister Mary, would you stand? And Sister Mary, would you get Sister Marie and bring her to go start getting ready to get baptized? Is anyone else being baptized this morning? I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was some others who, brother and sister, huh? He's being baptized. Come on down, my good friend. Brother Powell, would you go with her? And there was another couple. You was in then. Is it brother and sister Jackson? No, it was brother and sister Francis. Brother and sister Francis, where are you? Did you change your mind? I'm sorry. End of the month? Okay. All right, so we're going to get them ready to be baptized. All right, listen. Let's stand. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Are you listening? "But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Now, why did Jesus appear to Paul? Was it to stop him from persecuting the church? No, but that's what we believe. Jesus did not appear to Paul to fight any devils. He appeared to Paul to do one thing, because there's only one thing that matters. "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Look at verse number 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God." You want to get involved in spiritual warfare? There's only one fight that God is interested or interested. I'm not sure how to say that word. Interested? Interested? There is only one fight. Are you listening to me? There is only one battle that God is interested. It doesn't matter. God's not interested. All right, listen. There's only one battle that he is thoughtful of. And you fighting with the devil. And that's when it comes to a soul. Don't waste your time with that other stuff. All that's going to die in time. You want spiritual warfare? Go witness. Go reach for a soul. He said, I'm going to tell you why I knocked you off your horse, Paul. I knocked you off your horse to make you a minister. And I'm going to tell you the battle I'm interested in you going after. And that is for you to turn people from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them, which is sanctified by faith that is in me. And look what Paul tells Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy, 1 Timothy 1:15, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to do what? To fight the devil? No, he fought the devil thousands of years ago and threw him out. He came to this world, into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on these, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding the faith, a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith and have made shipwreck. He goes on to say, endure hardness as a good soldier, that he may please him that have chosen him to be a soldier. But prior to all of that, he said, Timothy, it's about reaching a soul. It's about reaching a soul. And I am here to tell you today that the only spiritual warfare that matters is me and you reaching a soul. You say, but I have to go to war against him, against this spirit and that spirit. Why? You already have power over it. Why are you going to go to war over something you already have power over? You have power over all the power of the enemy. You already have power. Why are you going to go fight somebody you've already conquered? Why are you going to keep wasting your time battling in areas and never profiting anything? One of the greatest spiritual warriors in this church is Tamika Payton. That's right. Because it's about winning souls. I'm going to close with this. We'll have a little bit of an altar call. We waste all of our time living for God, doing nothing but trying to maintain our own experience. We're always coming to Jesus asking forgiveness, We're always coming to Jesus in what we thought was spiritual warfare, battling against this temptation, battling against that temptation. You know how you defeat temptation? You make up your mind you're not going to do it. And there's not a thing the devil can do about it. You just make up your mind you're not going to do it. Because the Bible says we are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust. The only reason why he's able to tempt you is because you already desire it and lust it and want it. So all you have to do is take a stand and say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. How do I get that power over that? Through the Word of God. Word of God is your weapon. It's the weapon that you put in your head, your heart, your spirit. You put in your body. You conquer the things of the flesh. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And then you go to war. And war is when you reach for a soul. Now, you're in spiritual warfare. Prior to that, you're just fighting yourself. You're just beating the air. And the devil convinced you that you're fighting him. He's got you so busy fighting yourself, he doesn't even have to worry about you. But he's scared. Do you hear me? Because over the last few months, we have learned some things. And now we don't waste hours and hours and hours trying to pray through some lust in our heart as though it's some spirit we're trying to battle. But now we just understand it's a part of a fallen nature in me, and the only way I can fix it is to get into the Word of God and digest the Word of God and get in the power of the Word of God and love the Word of God. And wash, renew my mind and my heart and my spirit, and quit feeding my flesh ungodliness, and get in the presence of the Lord. Take care of that. But then I need to get up and I need to go to war. We are warriors. Tell your neighbor, you are a warrior. We are warriors. And so it's time to go after a soul. Now you pray and ask God to help you and give you wisdom and ask God to manipulate things. And, you know, we're always talking about, well, I almost had them, but Satan did this and Satan did that. Well, if you believe Satan's capable of manipulating things to stop them from coming to church, don't you believe God's capable of manipulating things and getting them to come to church? So why don't we turn those things around a little bit? We already dealt with that, didn't we? Quit glorifying the devil and start glorifying God and see what happens in our life. See what happens in our life. Okay, it's 1:30. I preached way too long. I'll hear it from my wife. Because she'll be mad because when she goes to put it on a CD, it won't all fit. So she'll have to do 2 CDs. She'll be upset because it takes more time. I'm only saying that because she's not in here. All right, so this is what we're going to do. It's 1:30, and I know that they need to start breaking down. I apologize for that, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray together as a church. And we're going to ask God to help us in this area. How many of you want to go to war? The kind of war that really, that's real. It's real. So I want you to know in your mind and in your spirit that when you approach that person, you know that you're about to go to war. So don't back down and don't quit. Understand that they're at the disadvantage when it comes to knowledge because they don't have the wisdom of God. You do. So don't accept defeat. Keep coming at them. Sort of like Katie Ann did with Chris. Don't give up. And eventually you can marry them if you're single and they're the opposite sex. You can marry them. I think Sean did the same thing, didn't he? Our youth pastor. damage we could do to the kingdom of Satan if we could just get a hold of this. Do you know what I believe? I believe that between now and next Sunday, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm saying it could happen. That every one of us could pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost before we even came back to church next Sunday. Yeah, you can do it. Because they don't have to be in church to get the Holy Ghost, right? You get the Holy Ghost anywhere. And you've already conquered. You're already the winner. You're already the overcomer. Yami, you don't have to worry about it. You're already the winner. God gave you power over all the power of the enemy. We wrestle. We torture principalities and powers. Why? Because when we walk into their territory, there's nothing they can do. Because God has given his power to usward through Jesus Christ, which is far above all principalities and powers. He put them to open shame. And that's why Jesus said this, and I close with this last verse. He said, Acts 1 and 8. How's that start out? Huh? You see how far away I am from you? And you're going to whisper? Is it there? Okay. I want you to holler at me. All right. Scream at me, man. But ye shall receive. But you shall receive. After that, the it's come upon you, and ye shall. It's why he gives us his power. For spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare? Witnessing. The moment you open your mouth and begin to witness, you go into spiritual warfare. Because the only thing Satan is concerned about is keeping souls bound in sin. Don't you understand that? The only thing Satan's concerned about is souls. The only thing God is concerned about is souls. So the only way you're going to be in the middle of that war is if you're concerned about souls. Because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. So let's pray. My sound man going to shoot me too. All right, everybody close your eyes. Just you and the Lord. You and the Lord. Father, I'm asking you. To please put this in the hearts and the minds of your people. Put this deep into our spirits. Put it deep into our minds. Put it upon our hearts to go to war. And give us the revelation of what that war is. Lord, every man and woman in this building are warriors. Don't let us waste our time beating the air. Turn us into soldiers of Christ. Help each and every one of us go to war by reaching a soul. Let us have that revelation that we have conquered the devil. He is under our feet. He is not our problem.
dealing with the flesh of that soul is our problem. Give us wisdom and knowledge how to do it. I'm asking you that this gets inside of each and every one of us, that we cannot shake it. Let us illuminate our eyes spiritually. Let us see into the spirit realm of how demons have bound the minds and the hearts of men, but we have power over all the power of the enemy. We can walk right up to that person and fear nothing and enter into spiritual warfare by pulling out the Word of God, by loving them, witnessing to them, praying for them. Oh God, turn us into warriors for your kingdom. Turn this church into a mastermind, a headquarters of spiritual warfare. Let us go out from here to battle on the front line. I ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say, I am a soldier for Christ. Let's go to war. Put your hands together. Let's